And welcome to another edition of Visions with me, Udalie Wickham Ashby. And today I'll be dancing with you and you and you and especially Randy Payne, my special guest today. Welcome to Visions, Randy.
Good morning, and thank you for having me. Good
morning
to all of
pleasure.
Barbados as well as the wider community in the world.
Right. So, Randy, let's start. I know you. I met you a few years ago learning to dance ballroom, especially. And at that time, I recognized that you, like me, have a vision impairment. So let's start about telling me what drew you to getting into the profession of dancing.
Well, a while ago, when I was still in school, I should actually start from basically in primary school. When I was in primary school, I started doing a little bit of various forms of dance. So I did a little ballet, a little jazz, a little hip hop, African, and so on. But then, you know, I dabbled at that, but then I didn't find, you know, even though I loved all the art forms, all the forms of movement, my mind settled when I was in secondary school on ballroom and Latin dancing. And it was because of this gentleman named Michael Redmond. He came to our school and he was proposing for us to do the graduation dance. And that was at Robert Secondary School, which then changed to Louis Lynch, which now is no more. And he basically taught the boys there. And at that time, it was only a few boys, very, very little boys and more girls. And, you know, I will never forget one of my best friends. She came up one day when a guy was teasing me and, you know, would have this little stigma about ballroom Latin dancing. He was there like, you know, what are you doing this dancing? You know, you should be dancing. He's a man, you should be dancing. And I was like, okay, why not? So then she came up on me and understood where he was coming from. And she defended me and saying, well, he got all the way here. What you got? And that actually drew him to actually join the dance club the next day. So that was a plus for me. But being teased in school and all that was a little bit hard. But as you know, while I was in secondary school, I had a little bit of vision loss, but not that much. You know, I was still carrying on a fairly okay life. It really got diagnosed as glaucoma when I was in like my 20s and late 20s because no one, the guy who had diagnosed me, I guess he figured that I was too young to have glaucoma, so he ruled that out. He didn't even check for that. So then I progressed and progressed into more and more vision loss until it was advanced glaucoma, probably around 20 something, 30, near 30. But I had always loved the ballroom and Latin dancing, so I did it. And it wasn't that challenging back then because, you know, I had most of my vision then. But that's how I started. And he carried me around to various schools, sorry, like Springer and various schools, because a number of those persons, well, you know, Springer was an all girls school. So he needed boys to be able to dance with the girls for their graduation. So wherever there was a need for boys, he would carry me around to the dance instructor would carry me around to the various facilities, the different schools.
Okay. So Randy, you said that from childhood, you recognized that you were experiencing some vision loss. When you received the final diagnosis, how did you cope with that? Because sometimes you know something is wrong, but yet you persist and you continue in your regular lifestyle. But then when you hear that diagnosis from the professional, it still impacts you differently. How was it for you?
Well, when the person told me that I had glaucoma, this was not the first doctor, but the second doctor I went to, he was like, well, who has been taking care of your friend? Because, you know, you have advanced glaucoma. And you're like, advanced glaucoma? What do you mean? So he was saying, so no one told you had glaucoma before? I said, no. So he was, you know, telling me glaucoma, you know, is a serious thing and is not to be played with. All right. So I wasn't really seeing, you know, that badly. I thought, at least but at that time. And I wasn't having any pain or anything like that. It was just like a little blurriness, right? So while attending him, I used to go to my visits and so on. And then it got, you know, a little bit more stressful because at one point in time, I had lost my job. And I was seeing him. And That was partially because of the blurriness, because it was, I was always a graphic designer. So when I went back to him, he was saying, well, what you have to do, you have to get these drops, you have to pay for the medication, you have to do this, you have to do that. And I was like, no problem. But when I lost my job, that was a very challenging for me. And at that time, unfortunately, I didn't know about the hospital or anything like that. So I was going to him, and then at one point in time, I couldn't pay. So I came to him and told him, well, I can't pay you because I don't have a job anymore and blah, blah, blah. And he was saying, oh, no problem, no problem, that's fine. You can come back when you can pay. I figured he probably thought that, I could pay probably a little later that week or something. So I hadn't gone back, even though I had advanced glaucoma. I didn't know what that meant for probably a month or more. So I had no medication, no nothing. And then when he called me for my next appointment, I came back and I told him, well, the situation is still serious. He said, you know how serious glaucoma is, because he didn't explain what glaucoma was the first time around. He knows how serious glaucoma is. You could go blind, boy. And they're like, oh, why didn't know that? I said, so, but I don't have any money to pay right now. And he said, but you could have gone to the hospital, you could get it. I said, but you didn't explain that to me, sir. So then he was there saying, well, you can find out for yourself. And then he was telling him, well, I didn't know how serious glaucoma was at that point in time, right? Because I was seeing fairly fine, just a little blurriness, I think. But I could feel some pain because the headaches were tremendous at some points. And I was just attributing it to my gray headaches, because that's what I used to have when I was a child. So at that point in time, then I knew how serious it was, and I was like, whoa. So I was really distraught at that point in time. And until I found someone who, actually shortly after that, I actually met another lady who told me about the hospital and told me about the different things as well. So then I had, the same opinion from two persons. So I checked out the hospital, and then I got on to Dr. Don Grover, and she took very good care of me. But she said, Raddy, you're at advanced, so you have to go on all the medications 3 times a day, 4 times a day, whatever it takes to get rid of that pressure fast. Because what glaucoma is that it's like a pipe filling up. And, obviously, if you fill it up, you can't have any pressure release, it's going to burst. So your nerves at the back of your eye are actually dead. They're damaged, really, really damaged. So there's no way to bring back the nerves in the back of your eye. So technically, I don't know how to tell you this, Randy, but you're gonna slowly experience blindness. Hopefully we're gonna bring on that pressure and try to keep you on the meds and so on, so that hopefully you will not go blind within your lifetime. But we're only slowing down the inevitable process. There's no reversal, there's no nothing. And then shortly after that, the drops were working a certain way, they were bringing down, because at what that point in time, no, I couldn't really see much out of my left eye. I was only seeing like lines and black and white, nothing, no colors, no definition, nothing. So I was really scared at that point. And it really impacted my dancing a lot, because I was having balance issues and so on, because obviously you don't have that both eyes, and you need your peripheral or side vision to balance and to make sense of the room, so that you're going a straight line and so on. So then after a while, she was saying, well, we did all we can drops wise, but you still need some more help. So then I had three surgeries. Yeah, one in the right eye, which was the worst. Then one in the left eye, and then they said that they realized what was happening in the left eye was working better, so they then went back in the right eye and did what they had to do. So, and I've been like that from then till now, except that when I was on all the drops and they brought really pressure a lot, I now could have vision in my right eye. I could actually see colors and, light and dark and so on. It's not just black and lines anymore. But it obviously that's the worst eye, so I don't have perfect vision, and my center vision on that eye is pretty much gone, more on the right side especially. I mean, on the left side, sorry. But the right side, I can see out of the right of my eyes and stuff.
Well, Randy, you just highlighted an excellent point that I want our listeners to fully appreciate and understand. And that is that when you are losing vision or have lost full vision, you do experience imbalance. And it takes some measure of training to regain that sense of balance, that sense of direction, so that you don't constantly drift from left to right or into the center of the road, or but really be appreciative and lend that helping hand when you see persons drifting.
It's true. And the thing is
Yes.
that most of at first I thought it was just dizziness, but then the Dr. Dongrove, then she indicated to me, you know, you're gonna have that because you had your eyes to be able to see whether you're to keep your balance in check.
So,
And then
Randy,
finally,
how did, sorry.
no, you go.
So how did this affect your dancing? Because now you are an instructor, you're dancing professionally. How did it impact your dancing?
Well, even though I started branching off into ballroom and Latin dancing, I was very grateful for the fact that a number of persons who knew, who realized I had dance skills, even though some of those persons didn't know that I used to dance other forms of dance before, they invited me to come and be a part of their productions. Like even Dancing Africa, at one point we had to bring a production to NIFCA and other dance groups. And I remember doing one production. And I'm trying to remember who it was with that I was at that point in time. But anyhow, I was backstage. And there's something that I think that, and you know, a lot of stage managers need to know about people that are visually impaired, is that backstage cannot be dimly lit. Even though you have to have some light. You can't have total darkness in the corridors because I remember that day plainly everybody was, you know, panicking because it was call time and, you know, I had to go to the curtain. So a number of those persons ran around to get to the cur to their positions backstage, and I, like all the rest of them, not you know thinking about my vision loss and my challenges, so I ran around with them. But then I actually stumbled off of one of the steps down towards the curtain, and I couldn't even catch my balance fast enough, and I actually hit the curtain, and the curtain opened a slight bit. Luckily, it didn't open wide. I opened a slight bit and I could see all the people in the audience there, but for the life of me, I obviously could not help myself at that point. So I held on to the curtains and then I regained my balance and then I went where I was supposed to go backstage to start the performance. But I did not see the step, and that was really a big challenge for me. Yeah, so that made me actually at one point tell myself I'm not going to perform ever again because backstage is too dark and I can't do this. So, you know, only because I'm a Christian, I believe in the Lord and that He can help you do anything, that nothing is impossible. And I know obviously people with vision loss or even people that are blind fully, they are able to do whatever they want to do with very good competence.
Yes, confidence, competence, and great support can assist blind, visually impaired, anyone in this life to go beyond their wildest dreams. And I think we need to practice a lot of confidence, build up our competence, and surround ourselves with those individuals who can truly support us in a positive and friendly manner. So,
Without maybe.
Randy, so tell us, because I know that you traveled extensively to perform at international competitions, regional competitions. What was that experience like? What was it really like? How did you feel going out to these international competitions?
Well, the first time I went to competitions, it was in Jacksonville, Florida. And that was because of a guy named Sarwat Kalubi, who came to Barbados, and I guess he saw me dancing in one of the salsa competitions that Eddie Eduardo put on, which was salsa, you know, those salsa competitions. So when he met me there, he while dancing, he swapped partners with me. And when I turned and came around, I was like, okay, I'm dancing with somebody new I've never seen before. And then I looked around while dancing this social event, and I realized that my wife was dancing with another strange gentleman. So then the lady was asking me, y'all do competitions here? And at that point in time, I used to do Jablani competition here and used to compete, used to win almost every year. And not with my wife now, which is Allison, it was with my former wife, Alicia Payne, Curly. So when she asked me this question, I said, yes, well, we compete here. And then she said, so you would love to come to US to compete? I said, I would love to, but you know, the funds are not there, and I have to see how I can get it done. So then the two of them, they actually facilitated some of the funding and so on, and then I went to my workplace and got through with that, the funding. And when we went to Jacksonville, it was a serious experience, but I had to let them know, I'm a little visually impaired. At that point in time, I was not, that severe. And so when they took me over there and we competed in the competition, we came fourth. And the coach was mad. My former wife was mad. And my former partner, who is now the dance officer at NCF, she was saying, "But Randy, I can't believe we come all out here and to lose the competition." And I mean, we lost because I was the person that didn't believe we could win. One, because of my visual impairment, as I said before, I had to grasp that a little bit longer to get a little bit, more sharp-footed. And two, because I am thinking, well, all these people that I am seeing here are people that I watch on the internet. I'm trying to pattern my dancing after them and so on, so I will get better and so on. So I didn't think I could beat them. So then when the dance instructor Sarawat, with his wife Julia Kalubi, and just by the way, Julia Kalubi is a Bajan. So actually he came from, I think it's Egypt he was from, and he came all the way to Barbados to marry this lady. And so that's why he loves Barbados so much. So that's why he was willing to help us with our funding and so on over there. So he was telling me, "Look at this there," because he had the recording of our competition. So he was like, "Look at this, Randy. So you don't believe that you could have beaten that person that was in third place?" And mind you, there was usually a six-man final, but we were able to edge out two, and I think one had defaulted from the competition as well after. So when he showed me the third place, I was saying, "Well, I could see that third place when I was having some challenges." And he said, "You could have beaten that person easily. Your technique is much better than this person." And then he showed me the second place person, and I was like, "But what about this person?" He said, "But Randy, the majority of the competition, that second place person was looking at you." In other words, he hasn't seen a black person in a long time in competitions, and so therefore, he was worried because he doesn't know what you are going to come with. So because he was looking around, you could have beaten him as well. And I was like, and I realized what he was saying, because all the way up to the first, I said, "But I don't think I could have beaten the first person." He said, "Yes, but you could have come second, and I'm sure you could have beaten that first person if you had the confidence." So that gave me a little bit more confidence, because he's a person that he owns some of the biggest competitions in about two or three places in the world, right? So if he knows, if he knows what to look for, and he himself is, I don't remember what level he was, but he's some number in the world, because they're world rankings, right? But he's some number. I think he was in the top 20 in the world back then, and I was like, "Okay, I see what you mean." So then I was really disappointed in myself, and that made me not go and work harder. We unfortunately lost contact with them after a while. I think my former wife, she still has contact with them. But I lost contact with them a while, and they were doing other things, and they were so busy so that we were not able to go back to the US again. However, we went to start to do England from there. So England was another experience, and by that time I had gained a lot more confidence, and we were going with AS Dance Center as well as some other dance centers around Barbados. We had chosen a number of persons from various dance centers to come and go and compete with us overseas, because we had connected with Sharon Vickers by that time. She was a friend of mine. She was a friend of a friend of mine who had gone to do some ballroom and that in training and stuff like that to be able to go to England. So we used to do some training and then go out and compete. And then was when I was able to, come third from third up. So that was, a very good experience for me then, and for my former dance partner, my former wife. But then after winning over there, we used to come back here, and then we weren't so successful here. And nobody overseas could not understand why we were not being successful here, because basically some of the same people that compete against us here are the people who compete against us out there, and they are not able to beat us out there. So, things happen.
Yes. No, Randy, I know that you are an extremely active man as well because you're part of the Lions Club. Tell us more about your experience within the Lions Club and what are some of the work that you do voluntarily?
Well, Well, because of the challenge visually, I actually, when I met my wife now, at least Alison Bishop Payne, she was avid, she was an avid member of the dance club. And so it was there, like, I would ask her, what does the Lions Club do? Because from my knowledge, I thought that the Lions died off years ago. I mean, I thought that the club did not exist because
Okay.
I didn't used to hear about them or anything like that. And she was telling me, no, it's very much alive and well. So then she started taking me to some of the meetings and so on. And then when I went around, saw a few people, a few members of the Lions Club and so on, then she got me started because, obviously I'm passionate about helping people with vision challenges and so on. And so she got me to come to an induction. And so when I went to my first induction, I was amazed because this was one of the few inductions that we had back then that was a joint induction. So therefore you got to see all the Lions Clubs in Barbados, or representation of all the Lions Clubs in Barbados. So when I went to that meeting, that first meeting, sorry, that first induction, I was amazed at the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Lions that were there at that event. And I'm like, so Lions Club exists and they have so many members, and yet we don't know, I don't know about it. So ever since then, I actually am a very
Active.
a backbone pushing member for the media, to promote it as much as I can, because it's very much alive, but I think that they need to do a lot more, or we need to do, I should say, a lot more promotion, so that a lot more people know that, it exists and we're there to help people. And the beautiful thing about Lions Club is that we're people that we will go and help people both locally, internationally, worldwide, but we don't have to publicize it, right? We still have to make sure that, from a business point of view, we send in the numbers, but it doesn't have to come with your name on it. And so that's why I know a lot of people in Barbados, they prefer to have Lions help them than any other service organization, because of the fact that we're private about, their help.
Yeah, I think one of the big areas that service clubs strive to do is to ensure that the dignity of the individuals they are
Yes.
assisting is maintained, because there's
Maintain.
nothing more demeaning than to reach out to assist someone who is, in need,
Vulnerable.
and then to have that splash all over the media.
Yeah.
It's not the best. So, yes, people will appreciate that.
And
And
so,
I know the Lions do a lot in terms of working with the blind as well. They
yes.
used to be called the Knights of the Blind.
Yes, of course. So when I must say that through that whole idea of the Knights of the Blind, I actually was able to go into a school that we take care of in St. Lawrence, St. Lawrence Primary, and that which is in our cap. And we usually go to various schools and we usually taught them about vision and vision loss and what they can do about their vision loss and so on. And I actually met a boy there that, because people used to think that glaucoma wasn't an aging disease, so therefore you can only get it when you're old. So then I met a boy there, and this was after the person taking care of me down ground. He told me, babies are born with glaucoma these days, Randy. So don't feel that it's an old people's thing. So when I went to the St. Lawrence Primary School, I met a boy that he had glaucoma. And I would ask him, so do you take your drops regularly? Because you need to control the pressures and so on. And he said to me, no, I hardly take my drops. And so after he saw some people were helping me up on the stage to get up and give my talk, which some all every day is not the same. So that day it was really cloudy for me, so I couldn't really see much visually, right? So I had to get help to get up on the stage. So I said, so you want to end up like me then, and have to have much more help, like surgeries and so. He said, no, I don't want to have surgeries. I said, well, you need to make sure you take your drops when you're told to take it on time, because if not, you're continuing to assist the damage of the nerves. You're assisting the body to help damage nerves more. And he was like, oh man. And I actually checked back after my talk, and I understand his teacher said that they now see him taking his drops during the day as well. So at least I know that, I did something, because
Positively, yes.
when I first was really depressed about it, as I said, I went to the Lord first, and I would say, well, Lord, if you can, totally heal me, or if it is there's a reason that I am put in this position, that helped me to see the reason, that helped me to go there and help other persons not to, take it slightly lightly like I did, right? At first, so that they won't become advanced glaucoma patients, right? So yeah, so I went around to a number of schools and talked to them about glaucoma, because strangely enough, my wife now, Alison Bishop Payne, she is, well, a lot of people call her Dr. Bishop, but because she had her certification before we married, right? So most people know her as Bishop. So she is actually an eye professional. She's a very rare person in the world, not only Barbados, but because she's an orthoptist. And I know that a lot of people know about ophthalmologists, and they know about, people who do eyeglasses and so on, optometrists and so on. But most people don't know about orthoptists because she's the only one in Barbados. She is probably still the only one in the region. Internationally, there are very few. So I was fortunate enough to butt up on her, and she was who introduced me to the hospital, long before we were married and so on. So everybody is very shocked that I have eye challenges, and yet I'm married to a person that's an eye professional who works at the Winston Scott Polyclinic. She's part of the eye study for children, the children's eye study. And so the polyclinic really deals with children more than adults, right? So most people will have to be taken care of at the hospital instead, right? So that was a whole other thing. And I met her through dancing, actually.
Well, Randy, it truly has been a wonderful time chatting with you and learning about how you discovered, cope, and still coping with your glaucoma, as well as your continuation in the profession of dancing. And I know you have assisted hundreds of individuals in learning how to dance. And we do appreciate you and your contributions through this profession, through the Lions Club, through your church, and all the other areas that you are contributing. And of course, family. How can I
Of
forget
course.
family? It really has been a pleasure chatting with you, and we'll have to chat again sometime soon.
Thank you for having me.
You have been listening to Visions with me, Eudalie Wickham Ashby, and my special guest, Randy Payne. So remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or 1-246-430-7300. You can email me at visionsbarbados@gmail.com, and you can check this and past episodes by going to VOB929.com website. So until next week, thanks for listening. And remember, love yourself and love your neighbor as you love yourself. So until then, ciao.